Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Steelers lost last night. If number 15 is still the quarterback, the Steelers win the game.
I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that.
So,
I don't know which was worse, the Steelers defense or Vic's really, really bad game.
Like the Steelers defense, first of all, is depleted. Let's start with that.
Well, I understand. And again, I said this earlier in the week. Yep.
Ryan Clark's out. Harrison's out. Okay, issues. They're also facing a quarterback that manages the game as well as any quarterback we have seen.
Do you know was a time where Peyton Manning had not been on the field because of halftime and everything for almost an hour? It took him two plays to score. Listen, time of possession means nothing in the NFL anymore. I really think that.
No, it's... It doesn't. Now, Alabama had a huge loss. Jahlstin Fowler, their running back, out for the year. Now, Eddie Lacy, of course, is the number one guy. Fowler, though, not bad. But out. Eddie Lacy has been a guy that's had a lot of injury troubles, including a lot of turf toe problems. T.J. Yeldon, who has looked really good, is going to get a lot more carries. Soft fell from, eighth in the poll to out of the poll after losing to Louisiana Monroe, and they lost quarterback Justin Wilson along the way.
That's what I was going to ask. I didn't realize when that score was coming across and I saw the upset that they had lost him. Is he, permanently for the year, or is that just was it just this game?
No, it was just this game. Okay. He's up in the air for the Alabama game.
Right. I didn't know if there was anything more because I hadn't heard anything more about it.
He's still having problems with the head injury. So what they did was they kept Wilson in Little Rock overnight after the loss, and then went back to Fayetteville on Sunday. So Brandon Allen and junior Brandon Mitchell might be the guys that go up against Alabama. here we go. There's a pack of wolves. Why don't you run there while wearing meat sticks?
I was going to just say, somebody's going to hang a sign that says fresh meat.
Yeah, that's not good. Wisconsin fired their offensive line coach today. 2 days into the season, Mike Markison. I think most people know that that the offensive line coach that they did have moved on to Pitt, Bob Bostad. He's with Paul Christ. So they went out and they hired six new coaches on this Wisconsin coaching staff. And Markison's one of them. He's a 14-year veteran. And, of course, Wisconsin, which was 11th in the nation last year in rushing offense, right now is 103rd in the nation in rushing offense and added 35 whopping yards and gave up four sacks against Oregon State.
And Ball only had, one double-digit run of about 15 yards, and that was because it was a passing situation.
Right. Well, and to be honest with you, but he's not a guy that gets a lot of double-digit runs. I mean, last year, when he averaged 6 yards a carry, he would go out and he'd get you five on one play, eight on another, six on another. Okay. which adds up to 19, which adds up to 6.2. I mean, that's what he did.
He averaged about 3 yards a carry, I think, in that game.
All right, and that's not his bag. That's not how he plays. That's not how Wisconsin plays football. And as I pointed out several times, and I'll make the point again, when it comes to Danny O'Brien, you do not know. You didn't know which one you were getting. The Danny O'Brien who was the ACC Freshman of the Year, the one that played so up and down last year and mostly down for Maryland. Russell Wilson was a huge reason why Wisconsin had success. I know Monty Ball was the Big Ten Player of the Year. I voted for Russell Wilson. I voted for Russell Wilson in the preseason last year, and I had to write him in to do it. And I voted for Russell Wilson at the end as Big Ten Player of the Year. Why? Because I just think he's that good and made that much of a difference. And now you're seeing how much of a difference he made. Sometimes you have to lose the guy to realize how good he really, really was.
But going three quarters without scoring a point and finally getting one in the fourth quarter and losing a 10-7, it definitely is not going to help the Big Ten's image either in conference.
Well, the Big Ten's image is right now, it's against BCS teams. Do you know how many wins the Big Ten has against BCS teams so far in non-conference play?
None.
Two.
Is there two? Okay. What two did I miss?
Northwestern is both of them, Vanderbilt and Syracuse.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about Vanderbilt.
Yep, Vanderbilt and Syracuse. Northwestern has both of them. The other 11 schools have combined for no wins against BCS teams. I mean, that's the state of it right now. So, I mean, you look at what's gone on to this point. And Ohio State's off to a nondescript 2-0 start. Indiana's off to a nondescript 2-0 start, but they lost Trey Roberson, their quarterback, for the rest of the year. Illinois got destroyed by Arizona State. Purdue lost a game that was a tough one at Notre Dame. Wisconsin, of course, now 1-1, and Penn State lost that one-point game at Virginia. They're 0-2. Now you go to the other side. Michigan State has the win over Boise. Okay, now that is an impressive win at home. And then one at Central Michigan. Minnesota has two nondescript wins. They beat New Hampshire Saturday. Iowa's 1-1, barely won against, I think it was it Northern Illinois, and then lost to Iowa State 9-6. Michigan got blown out by Alabama. I mean, blown. I wasn't even in the game. And then held on against Air Force. And then there's Nebraska. When their opener was a good win over Southern Miss. But then lost in the Rose Bowl to UCLA the other night. And defensively didn't look good. I mean, that's what we've seen so far. I mean, that's where it is. There are five 2-0 teams out of 12. Michigan State, Minnesota, Northwestern, Indiana, and Ohio State. Northwestern has two over BCS teams, Syracuse, Big East, SEC, Vanderbilt. That's it. That is a tough one. Now, they're not playing FCS teams. I mean, Indiana beat UMass is not an FCS team. They're in the MAC. You know, they held on to beat Indiana State 24-17. But now they have, you know, Trey Roberson probably out for the year. And the Cochran kid, the JC kid, is going to probably have to take over. So they have some issues that they're going to have to, again, overcome.
Have you taken any time to think of your best and worst from yesterday's Week 1 NFL?
Best and worst?
Yeah.
David Akers, 63-yard field goal hitting the upright.
he hit the crossbar.
He hit the crossbar.
He hit the crossbar, bounces straight up in the air, and then drops over. And then the best part was Fox's shot. They zoomed in on his face, and he looked like he just kicked an 80-yarder. He looked so stunned.
By the way, Roberson broke his leg. Ooh. So he's out for the year.
Yep.
So Cameron Kaufman will take over as the starting quarterback. All right. And worst yesterday? Best and worst. I also like the two-point play that Jacksonville ran.
You know, I missed that. I was watching Red Zone, and I missed it.
Yeah, they ran a two-point play. It was really cool. And the NFL runs a lot of really clever two-point plays. And I can't quite understand why they can't run the Red Zone offense the same way as the two-point play. So Denver's two-point play last night was just a straight run. Worst? Well, Vic's performance would be among the worst.
29 of 56. Still, 29 of 56, 317, two touchdowns, four picks, and win.
That's Cleveland.
Four picks and win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Cleveland.
Andrew Luck had three picks yesterday. Still threw for 300 yards.
Yeah, but look. He doesn't have LeSean McCoy. He doesn't have DeSean Jackson. He doesn't have, okay?
Oh, no, I wasn't complaining about it. I just.
Yeah. Then Kevin Cobb came off the bench, directed the game-winning touchdown.
Well, we were poking fun at Arizona the other week with selecting their player by, or selecting their starting quarterback by pulling it out of a hat. But, the injury causes him to come into the game, and it's, again, that's where it's nice to have that multi-million dollar quarterback ready to go.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the more important spots in the NFL right now is a veteran backup quarterback, because most teams, not a lot of teams have the Eli Mannings that take every snap. So, yeah.
I think the biggest surprise yesterday, at least to me, was the Redskins 40 points on the New Orleans Saints and winning at 40-32. They gave up a lot of yards.
Yeah.
RG3, 19 of 26, 320.
Yeah, Breeze, he did well.
Breeze had a decent game, 24-52 for 339.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Had the two picks, but.
And tonight you have the annual Chargers-Raiders Monday night opener. And the Ravens, is Barty in purple today?
Of course. There is not a day in the football season where she's not wearing something purple. That's what she tells me.
Is Barty there?
She's in the newsroom. Hang on.
We'll see if she's there or not. We need to get her initial perspective on the Ravens as the only Ravens fan in the state of Pennsylvania.
She's doing an interview, but I'll get her here.
Yeah. Just whomever she's interviewing, tell them that we're busy right now.
Well, I'm sorry. Steve Jones wants her.
Come on. Let's move. Chop, chop. Come on.
Everything will stop now.
Chop, 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 chop. Come on. Let's move. But, yeah, the Ravens play tonight. Because the guy I'm interested in watching is whether Joe Flacco's ready to take it to the next level or not. And that is, for the Ravens to do well, he's going to have to. Now, for Penn State, we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. They'll be, first of all, they're playing an option team on Saturday. And they run this thing from all sorts of angles, different formations, and so forth. Okay? And so it's totally different than what you saw. Now, the key to me, the single biggest key in this game for Penn State is try and get a two-score lead. And the reason you want to get a two-score lead is that you want to get Navy into a mode where they think they have to throw the ball to come back. And that's why getting a lead in this game is really important. And getting a two-score lead in the game is very important. By getting a two-score lead in the game and making them throw the ball more than they want to takes them out of their comfort zone. And that's why you want to do that. So I think it's the biggest part of this is somehow getting to and maintaining a two-score lead. Because Navy's one of those teams that if they get the lead on you, this is a great front-running team where they can run the option, keep the ball on the ground, chew up some yards, chew up some clock, which is what they want to do. They want to walk out of there with a time of possession of 35-25. That's what they want to walk out there on. You can get some three and outs. You can generate some offense. And Penn State's going to have to do a better job of finishing drives. They have to do a better job of finishing drives. You know, we talk about the 1-for-5 in field goals. That also means now the last drive is excluded. You have to exclude the last drive because that last drive was a really well-executed two-minute offense to take it from their 27-yard line and move it to the 25. They needed 48 yards. They got 48 yards. And they did it with one timeout and got it done. He missed the field goal. Now, the other four field goals and the three misses, again, are the inability to finish drives and get them into the end zone, especially the one that they had a first and goal at the 5 and a second and goal and a third and goal at the 3, respectively. Have to be able to get it in from there, finish out, get the 7 points, you know, and where a field goal isn't even in the mix. And, in fact, if they do that, okay, if they do that, it doesn't even come down to the last game. If they score in that one where Kenny brought the ball to the 5-yard line, it doesn't matter whether Fickens takes a final shot or not because guess what? They don't need the 2-minute drive. By scoring a touchdown there, they have a 2-score lead. Changes the entire dynamics of the game. So you have to finish drives. And that's what they have to do. Because, again, the Ficken component doesn't even come into play if they finish the one drive that they had the ball first and goal at the 5-yard line. Got to finish. Make the play. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. Beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our Lenape Solar Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Guy Cipriano in the last half hour from the Center Daily Times joined us on the Lenape Solar Hotline. Hoping to get in Maya Hayes tomorrow. StateCollege.com guys on Wednesday. High school football coaches, big one, Shikellamy Sealands Grove this week. And Navy's play-by-play guy is going to join us on Thursday as well. How about that one? We have a big week coming up.
And Joe Susan on Friday for Bucknell, Delaware on Saturday.
Yes, Joe Susan on Friday for Bucknell, Delaware. It'd be great to have Joe on the show because right now I know he's pretty ticked off at you.
No, he's not. He's not. We had a good interview postgame. We had fun.
Yeah. Sure. Right now he's throwing darts and your face is on the target. So if you want, I'll talk to him.
Maybe that'd be best.
So we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza would like to give you some advice on your next used vehicle purchase. There are many dealers offering $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, or a minimum of $3,000 for your clunker. Do you know what that means? It means these dealers are asking $3,000 too much for their vehicle. At Sunbury Motors, we have the lowest price promise on pre-owned vehicles. We research the market and make sure our prices are the lowest of any similar vehicle within a 50-mile radius from a franchise dealer. We also put our used vehicles through a stringent 135-point inspection, making sure you're getting a quality vehicle. So don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors from these screaming dealers offering unrealistic trade offers. Visit Sunbury Motors online at www.sunburymotors.com, or better yet, come in and see that every pre-owned vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. And remember, always ask for a Carfax.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, hola, and buenos dias. Little Spanish lingo to get things rolling here.
It's a multilingual program.
1-800-795-9565. This is the Monday edition, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Go to Purdy Insurance at Market Street, Sunbury, or go online to purdyinsurance.com. Also, the Lenape Solar Hotline is open. 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to get your thoughts and comments on the game. Interesting, because I said to somebody, I said, I'm not that worried about Sam Ficken. And they said, well, we're worried. And I said, you know what? I completely understand why fans are worried about it. He goes out, and he goes 1-for-5, and he missed that one at the end. So sure. I mean, in other words, I've heard fans that are not angry at him. They're just worried. Well, I understand that, especially with so many games that are, look, a lot of games are going to be close. The margin of error is thinner. We know that. But I'm not as worried because I've watched him kick so often in practice. Now, he has to do it with the lights on, right? I know that. Obviously, I know that. You have to do it and get it done with the lights on. And that's where he is. So the other part, too, is they have to do a little bit better job on. They have to do a better job on third and long. Let me give you some numbers from this game, because obviously I do a little bit more than my stat breakdowns are a little different than everybody else's. And Kevin knows because I've sent Kevin, because Kevin's asked for my charts before.
I can't read them, but I've seen them.
Oh, brother.
It's way too in-depth for me.
Well, it's all this stuff is just in case stuff.
Sure.
Okay?
Hey, you never know when you have a blowout when you're going to need something like that.
No, it has nothing to do with blowout. It depends on situations. I'm looking at situations. Hey, what is the situation for something? So I will take down the – let's take first down now, okay? Penn State's run 60 first down plays this year. How many of them are runs?
Well, it was pretty close to down the middle a week ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. What do you think it is now?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't get a chance to see any of the game. Yeah. I was listening to it. I would say it's probably not much different than 50-50.
It's 30-30 now. 30-30. So 60 runs. So, I mean, in terms of, like, balance on first down, yeah, they have balance on first down. They didn't, but they didn't do a very good job in terms of number of yards on first down in this game. The opening game, Penn State had 158 yards on first down. That's not bad. That's 5.2 yards of first down play. This game, though, they only had 102. So that's not what you want. You want it to be a little bit better than that. Okay? So you're setting yourself up to see actually it's 101. 30 plays, 101 yards. Third down. Okay? Less than 4 yards. Penn State in this game was 4 for 10, over 5 yards, 4 for 12. That's not bad. Virginia, 2 of 4 on less than 4. Okay? Not bad. That's good. You can live with 50% of defense in less than 4 yards. But here's a big one, guys. Virginia, 7 of 11 on 3rd and 5 or better. That means teams are 14 of 21 against Penn State, 67% in 3rd and 5 or better, 3rd and long. And Penn State in the past has been around 17%. So they got to get a better handle on 3rd and long. Okay? Turnovers, they were plus 4. You can't get better than that. Scored in the opening drive. That's terrific. Should have scored in the opening drive of the second half, but missed a field goal. But the second straight week, they gave up a touchdown in the opening drive of the second half. So teams are 2 for 2. 11 drives by Virginia. 5 of them were 3 and outs. That's good. Field position, Penn State owned that. They started 5 drives on the Virginia side of the field, the plus side of the field. So they had 43 yards for an average drive start, the 25 for Virginia. Really good. And of course, the 2-minute drill, they didn't get the field goal at the end, but they couldn't have performed it any better. The other 2-minute drill was with Stephen Bench, and really that kid hung in there. Now, Paul Jones did move to tight end slot receiver last week. Okay. So you're asking, why wasn't Paul Jones put in the game? Why not? And that's the reason why. Bench had really been on his tail for a while. Paul Jones, okay, volunteered to move to tight end. He volunteered it. All right? Just so you know, he volunteered it. So I want to make sure all of you understand that came from him, and they said, sure. And that's the one part of the conversation I don't think that's come out. So he volunteered to do it. Been a lot of conversation as to, that he was beaten out and the whole thing. I understand that. But he went to the coaches and said, look, I want to do this. Okay. He's trying to get himself on the field, of course.
Playing time.
I mean, he's trying to get himself on the field and probably didn't feel it was going to happen. He didn't even play a minute in the game. And I got to give Bench credit. I thought Bench hung in there pretty well. He had only worked in that 2-minute drill a couple times in practice. And he hung in there. But again, brings up that margin of error thing again. So they have to. So where do they have to be better? Well, number one, we all know that in order to get scoring range, you have to hit field goals. All right, so now we put the obvious out there. Now we're done with the obvious. Let's move to the next part. The next part is in the kicking game, they must do a better job with the hidden yards in the kicking game. Butterworth had that one great punt of 52 yards, which Motti covered and destroyed Shepard on the play. Okay. Butterworth has to be consistent of kicking the ball between 38 and 45 yards high enough. Not just getting 38 yards or 42 yards on a roll. Okay. So they need to be more consistent there. Also, they're not getting anything out of punt returns right now. So far, nothing there. And the kickoff part's fine. Ficken's kicking the ball off fine, couple touchbacks, the whole thing, no real return against them. And again, kickoff return part, look, this touchback thing is what it is. The touchback thing is what it is. And that you are having more decisions made by kickoff return guys, because instead of thinking to yourself, okay, if I take this thing out, I've got to at least cross the 20 to make it pay off. You now have to cross the 25 to make it pay off.
It is what it is, but is it a good thing?
Well, there's a reason why it was put in, Kevin. It was put in because of the danger.
I understand.
I mean, the move of the kickoff from the 30 to the 35 and the touchback to the 25 happen to be safety moves made by the NCAA. And the odd thing about this is, I talked to Bill Carollo on Tuesday, the head of officials for the Big Ten, and he said, you have to remember, he says, this is the off year for rule changes. Yet this helmet rule and this kickoff rule are having two major impacts in the game, and this is an off year for rule changes. They do it every other year.
Well, let me ask you your opinion on this then, because, I mean, not to sound disagreeable, but I'm not a huge fan of moving it to the 25-yard line. I understand, you know,
35.
On the touchback.
Oh, you mean touchback.
On the touchback coming out to the 25-yard line. I understand moving the kick. That makes complete sense to me. But if this is such a good idea, then why, when the NFL moved it, did they not go to the 25-yard line to avoid guys coming out of the end zone?
Well, I think the NFL didn't do it because most of the time the ball is kicked. Look at last night. Okay? Prater. I mean, did the Steelers return any kickoff last night?
No, I don't think there was a kickoff that was returned, was there, for either side?
Everything went through the end zone.
Right, right. Well, there, that's not saying much in Denver, but...
But the number of kickoff returns was way down in the NFL last year. Way down. And you have great speed guys back there. Some of them take that ball 5 yards deep. They come out. They come out. But the NCAA decided that in order to take as much risk as possible out of kickoff returns because of the injury potential, they'd move it to the 35 and bring it out to the 25. You know what? I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I don't have any issue with that rule at all. None. I also think the judgment now for those that get the ball in the end zone, you know, because let's face it, you know, you want to keep them underneath the 25-yard line, you can kick it to a spot and cover it. You know, you want to kick it to a spot, you don't want to go to the corner, to the 5-yard line. Kickers are usually good enough where they can get it in the neighborhood of the spot you'd like them to be. Then you cover the thing, the guy's down at the 18-yard line, you gain 7 yards of field position. So there's strategy involved.
Yeah, I mean, I understand they want to keep everything down and they don't want those, you know, 110-yard return attempts. I just think the 25 might have been just a little bit too far. And the one that I really don't like, and you mentioned it just a few minutes ago, is the new helmet rule. And I can speak from this from firsthand. I have never seen a game in which I saw more helmets pop off than Saturday night. 4 guys had to sit out of play because their helmet came off in the first half of the ball game. The first half of the ball game. Now, I'm not saying there was intent for helmets to be removed, but I've never seen that many helmets in a game, let alone in the first 2 quarters.
Yeah, I've seen it more. And Jake Snyder of Virginia got his helmet knocked off, made the tackle on the play, and got penalized 15 yards for a personal foul because he participated in a play without his helmet. It's like, wow, that's harsh.
I mean, I understand safety first. I get that. But, boy, it just seems as though that you're opening the door to a lot of other things that can happen by putting this helmet penalty in or the helmet rule in.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Derek Day had his helmet knocked off and got hit on the play. He was carrying the ball, so he couldn't stop, even though the the whistle blows right away. And then I was talking to Bill Carollo about that. And he said, what should have happened on the play, Steve, is that The whistle should have blown. And right away, the play has to be blown dead the second the running back's helmet comes off. And I said, well, I think they did, Bill. But I, you know, at the same time, I also think there was a case where you know, it's kind of hard to stop a defender, you know, even though the whistle blows because the guy's helmet came off. He says, yeah, no, he says, yeah, I agree with that. So, Andy Murray, by the way, is up 4-3 in the opening set of the U.S. Open final over Novak Djokovic. They are on serve.
And I just watched a 54 volley point.
Mm-hmm.
Both those guys were gassed at the end of that.
I'm sure they were. So that's the U.S. Open. Serena Williams, of course, won yesterday. 1-800-795-9565 is the Lenape Solar hotline. If you'd like to jump in, get your comments in. Let's go to Doug in Wellsboro. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good, Doug.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a quick call and say you were totally right. I called last week, and I didn't think they had a chance this week. And you said they did have a chance to win. Overall, I was impressed by how the team played. They did everything they could except for win the game. That's about as best defense, all-around defense, things like that. The offense, it is what it is. But I was impressed overall of how they organized things like that. Some things are going to go wrong during the game. That's just the way it is. But I was wrong last week, and I just want to say you were right.
Well, Doug, they have to finish, though. I mean, this is what they have to do, and this is – we're going to have a lot of games, Doug, especially over the next few years, where you're going to have to make plays in the kicking game to win the game. Now, for the offense, they're going to have to do a better job of finishing drives. The one that, of course, that comes to mind especially is the one where Kenny made the catch, made a nice move, and got to the five-yard line. Then Dukes ran to the three, and then they had two incomplete passes when they tried to get to the end zone. That's a drive you need to finish, because if you do, you win the game on that drive. So they have to do a better job of finishing. And also, Penn State gave up two big plays in the pass game that bailed Virginia out. They're going to have to close that part up as well. So beyond the 1-for-5 in kicking, there are a couple of areas where they could have won it and swung it. I still maintain that this can be a very good football team. But they need to break through and get a validation for all their hard work. I think when they get the validation of their hard work by getting a win, then I think that when that happens, I think you may see them with some momentum and then make a few other things happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. The other thing is, I mean, Motti, for the second straight week, I don't know if that kid's going to survive the season or not, the way he's all over the field and everything. He's just playing all world, so...
Well, let's see. He forced a fumble. He recovered a fumble. He destroyed a guy in a punt. He's been something.
What was the mood of the team coming back on the flight Saturday?
You know what? Quiet, Doug. It was quiet because, you know what, they threw their hearts and souls into this doggone thing and didn't get the validation of a win. And, of course, they were all, you know, surrounding Sam Ficken and making sure that, he was fine. They wanted to be one team. And that's right. What they've done. They're surrounding him. But it was a quiet trip home. You know, there wasn't really any, you know, I'll find out today. I'll bet I get to practice today, and I'm going to go to practice about 10 minutes here. Bet I get to practice today, and I think I'll probably see an upbeat football team. I think they know they got better, that's for sure. Now they need to validate it with a win.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Doug, thank you. Number is 1-800-795-9565. We'll come back with more. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Djokovic just broke Andy Murray back on serve, 4-4 in the first set for the U.S. Open Tennis Championship at Arthur Ashe Stadium at Flushing Meadow. And today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com. Also in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. That Lenape Solar Hotline that Doug just called on from Wellsboro is open at 1-800-795-9565. We've been getting calls from Harrisburg, Lancaster, Wellsboro, Williamsport, Danville, Sealands Grove, Northumberland, all over the place. You know, you've been pretty pleased by the range of calls. We had a lot of calls from a wide range of, in this audience.
And a lot of it's about Penn State. Some of it's about high school. Some of it's about NFL stuff.
So, and in the NFL, it's amazing how you change quarterbacks and you have a different feel. Peyton Manning. If the Steelers are playing last night and Tim Tebow's the quarterback, the Steelers win the game. But the way Manning managed the game, the throws that he made, especially to Brandon Stokley.
He Manning handled them.
I mean, Manning played well last night. Did he play great, awesome, and incredible? No, he didn't play great, awesome, and incredible, but he played well.
252.
And his time.
I was going to say 252, two touchdowns and a two-point conversion. Not terrible.
No, but no, I said he played well. I mean, he knows he can play better. I mean, he knows he can play better. And that's the thing that should frighten everybody, is that he can play better. He played well last night. They tried to establish it out of the running game last night. But again, when Denver went no huddle last night, he got better. Sometimes you can be so stubborn with what you're doing. Look, they have one of the truly great no-huddle quarterbacks of all time. Unleash him. Let him do it. You know, but again, when you have a head coach who has a defensive mindset, because John Fox was the defensive coordinator for many years with the Giants, among others, okay, they like you to run the football a little bit more. They like to take up a little bit of the clock and keep the defense off the field. Well, I have one of the great no-huddle quarterbacks of all time, right? As a defensive coordinator, if you have that mindset, aren't you worried that Peyton Manning's running the no-huddle against my team? Controlling things at the line of scrimmage? When they went no-huddle last night, they were better. And the Steelers have definite offensive line issues. Too many guys hurt now.
Again.
I thought Mike Wallace looked good in that one play where he picked up the penalty.
He got a catch, I think.
That was worth the holdout. Wallace had four catches for 37 yards and a touchdown.
Yep, that's worth the money. Not.
He was fourth in yardage last night. All right, more tomorrow.